Welcome back to a new episode of Supernatural Creatures and Lore in 2026. I am your host, Dr. Chris.
And I'm Mel Heflin, his co-host.
And we are recording our very first episode of 2026. At this point, Supernatural actors are going to be on The Boys coming up, which is cool. Many have already done that because Eric Kripke runs that show. There's a VOT TV show coming, which is going to have more Supernatural actors reunited on the show. I think they announced Lucifer. The actor who played Lucifer, Mark Pellegrino, is going to be one of the VOT CEOs when the company was first founded. And, of course, that show will have Jensen Ackles as the main character, Soldier Boy. So that'll be cool. And I think there's going to be a younger version of Bobby's character, whatever his character's name is. Like, he's on the show once in a while. He's like a senator. So there'll be a younger version of that character on the show as well. And then we're up to, I think, issue 4 of the Supernatural comic book. It's okay. That's all I can say. It's all right. They're trying to do, like, retcons in the middle of seasons 1 and 2. I would prefer, like, Tales of the Supernatural Universe. But I don't know if that would sell as well as, like, a comic book about Sam and Dean. I don't even know if this is selling that well. You know what I mean? It's got a Valentine's Day special coming out in February. So we'll see about that.
I wish I could find it for a subscription somewhere because it is so expensive buying it individually through stands.
You'll have to just wait until the trade paperback is on Amazon in a few more months. You just order it that way.
Yeah.
Tonight we are talking about a creature from season 11, Corin. Corin? Did I say it right? Yeah, okay, I did. Is a type of creature similar to a genie that can be controlled by the bidding of a master who's in possession of their heart. That's interesting. What's funny is that the character in the episode is called Sonia, and the entire time I was thinking of, like, Red Sonia. I think that's a character that Mel could play very well.
I would love that. I could just 3D print some chainmail.
Bikini?
Yeah.
Would you hit the gym like crazy to get into like the buff amount of shape? Because they did like a Red Sonja movie last year, and the actress they had play her was like stick thin. She was not that buff.
I hit the gym pretty hard now, and, you know, like, just... It depends on your genetics, how much it shows.
She...
I don't think my genetics are great.
No. Yeah, she was okay. They redid the costume to make it look make more sense. You know what I mean? Her hair wasn't that red until she's in a pool of blood and then it, like, dyes it. It's just like, well, what's going to happen when her hair, like, you know, grows out? I guess she'll just keep dyeing her hair in red blood, I guess, because the character has in the comics has like insanely red hair, you know. And she even wore the chainmail bikini in the pits that she's fighting in briefly. Like, this is ridiculous, you know. And it's like, well, that's the costume. Of course, it was just the chainmail bikini. She wasn't wearing anything else. She wasn't wearing, like, she's usually like a cloak with her, and she's got like really high to the knee fuzzy boots, you know, leather bound boots and gauntlets on. You know, so there is obviously the chainmail bikini, but she is wearing, like, other attachments as well, like a belt with a sword and a sash. So she's got some accessories to her body besides just, like, a bikini. What do we know about this creature, Mel?
Well, this creature is from the episode Love Hurts. This is the 13th episode of the season, the 11th season, and it originally aired on February 10th. 2016. We've got the synopsis right here. Sam and Dean investigate a set of murders on Valentine's Day and discover they are dealing with an ancient curse. Once kissed by the curse, the person is marked to die. I think it's fascinating that our very next holiday coming up very soon is Valentine's Day.
And we've done a Valentine's Day episode before. I think it was like the My Bloody Valentine, which, of course, is also the name of the movie that Jensen Ackles was in, the remake.
I love that movie.
It's damn funny that My Bloody Valentine, the movie, has never had a sequel. It's just one and done, and then they did a remake, you know, decades later.
I'd love a sequel of it.
They never turned them into a... They never turned him into like a franchise like Jason or Michael, you know, or Ghostface.
It would be so easy to do it. I would love it.
I just don't think there's any like enough there to do it. You know what I mean? Obviously, like every time there's a new slasher film in theaters, they kind of wait to see how well it does before they decide to go ahead with a new one. We have a movie coming out soon called Psycho Killer. It's from the people who made Barbarian and Weapons, by the way.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then of course we do have Scream 7 coming.
Excited.
Yeah, retaining numbers, which is good, unlike stuff that was just like, oh, we're not doing a number after the third one. Now it's called, you know, it's called Thanksgiving Feast or something. You know, like stop numbering things and just put subtitles or put the word the in front of it. Like, they have a new Rambo movie coming. It's going to be a prequel, of course, and it's called John Rambo. It's going to be set during the Vietnam War, and it's just like, who wants to see that movie? Like, we know where it goes. He gets tortured, and then, obviously, like, and then it's like him walking into that town on Christmas and gets, you know, picked on by the local rednecks.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that. But this is a creature that I don't think anyone ever does anything with. I looked up a lot, and I couldn't find anyone like, oh, there was a movie, you know, or anything like that.
You know, there could be so much more.
Indeed. The creature, like I said, is like a djinn. Its name literally means constant companion and pushes a person to do evil things and disobey Allah. I'm assuming you know who Allah is. I don't think Allah has ever been on Supernatural, but God has, obviously.
Well, Allah is just another word for God.
Right, but the God that's on there is the Christian, Judeo-Christian God, you know, at least from what we know. But they have other beliefs of Allah with the Muslims, right? They could have probably done a different version.
From my understanding is Allah is directly translated into God, and it's not really supposed to be separate gods. It's just their word for the same version of God.
Oh, okay. I also just don't think that would have been like, I don't remember them doing a lot of Muslim stuff on Supernatural, like religious characters and things like that. I think that was a bridge they didn't want to cross, considering when Supernatural started and where it was going. You know, it was right after, like, 5 years after 9/11, 4 years after 9/11. Obviously, they wouldn't have done that in the first.
Potentially not having somebody to oversee to make sure that it was handled correctly. It always depends on who you've got in the writing room to make sure things are handled right.
Correct. You had, like, obviously the first four seasons of the show, they didn't really get into all the goofier, like, deity character monster stuff everywhere until much later seasons, you know. But then, like, at that point, then the show was crossing into a line where, like, we were, you know, involved with the trials of Osama bin Laden, things like that, and that just would not have held up very well.
Yeah,
I think they would have handled it well, but I think it would have been one of those episodes that comes out and is like, oh, they did this episode of Supernatural that is very controversial.
Well, I know some, like, very highly Christian religious folk who watch the show, and they nitpick it apart probably about the same as people nitpick our podcast.
Oh, really? There hasn't been any of that. There hasn't been much of that for a while, because I really started putting the disclaimer out there that, like, listen, we're taking this from, like, we are not, like, historical experts. You know, once in a while we do have someone on the show that knows what they're talking about. We're just taking this from, like, what other people have written, so, you know, bugger off.
Yeah.
Do you ever get hit with, like, anything online from people being like, yeah, your podcast, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Oh, I listened to this episode, your co-host is like...
Oh my gosh, I get hit with everything really hard, and I have learned very, very, very strictly not to look at the reviews, because... people don't understand or respect that not only am I reading somebody else's words from a script, but I'm also being directed. So people are very, very quick to go after my acting in one movie and then praise it in the next and then condemn it in the one after. And it's like, you realize I'm being directed by two different people. I'm being edited by two different people. I'm reading different words written from different people. I don't know. People are quick to go after whoever they see on the screen.
I understand.
Whoever's voice they hear.
Yeah, I get it. Give us some of the finer points of this Arabic creature.
Oh, right. So, as you said, this is very similar to a genie, and they are controlled to do the bidding of the master, whoever possesses their heart. Koreans are also shapeshifters who will take on the form of the person's deepest, darkest desire to seduce them and then kill the victim. And the only way to kill a Koreen is by stabbing the heart, of course. Based on the notes in Sonia's spellbook, their existence was known since the ancient Armenian and Arabian era. The lore itself was written in Aramaic. It's humanoid, but with a darker demonic appearance, and the only known body part was the heart. And it looks similar to a human heart, and the only way a heart is safely removed without injuring it so that they can live. So their powers and abilities, they shapeshift, they have empathy, super strength, super stamina, and invulnerability. Their weaknesses, we've got magic, destruction of the heart, and a retinal flare, which, of course, that's, you know, whenever you see a camera and you see that little reflection of a light.
Right, that's all the super. That's the supernatural weaknesses made up for the show, I'm assuming.
Right, yeah. I can only assume. So, the lore away from supernatural is... So, it's originally meant to be a spiritual double of a human. So, they are supposed to look completely like their master, but, like, in a parallel dimension. The Koreen, similar to a djinn in a ghostly nature, and they, in some depictions, are very similar to, like, a conscience. So, like, there's the angel form and the devil form of the Koreen, depending on what's going on or who you're talking to. If you remember, we have Albanian friends who told us about the Zana. I wish I could have talked to them about the Koreen as well. Does everyone have a Koreen? Okay, so this was my question, because it's supposed to be a spiritual double in the parallel dimension, as I mentioned a moment ago. So in Islamic tradition and Hadith, and that's the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad,
mm-hmm.
every person has a Koreen.
A Interesting. Spiritual
companion in the form of a djinn that accompanies them ever since birth. The Prophet Muhammad himself confirmed that he had one as well, though Allah helped him to overcome his evil influence, making his Koreen only command him to do good.
Hmm.
Am I making sense so far?
What's funny is that the Turkish Muslims, which I don't know a lot about the Muslim religion, I know there's various forms of it, just like there's various forms of Christianity. There's Protestants, there's Catholics, there's Baptists, you know, things like that. And they all kind of have different beliefs within Christianity. As I was saying, they Russians and Turkish Muslims believe that the Koreen is in the womb with whoever it's attached to. What if you don't have a womb, though? Is it with you since birth?
Yes.
That's creepy.
Yeah, I could see everybody having, you know, the spiritual influence in the womb with them.
Still weird, unusual.
Yeah, that's it's a very interesting lore. Described as like the spiritual twin. So my question from here, which I couldn't really find a solid answer on, was what if you are a twin? Is that where, like, this whole evil twin comes from? Does the Koreen become that's supposed to be, you know, one of their spiritual companions go into an actual physical body, or would each twin have their own Corrine?
Good question.
Yeah, I couldn't really find a solid answer. That's one of the things that I would love to ask somebody, you know, Albanian or Muslim. So the primary role of the Corrine is to encourage a person's desires and to whisper temptations to them and lead them away from righteousness. It's a test for humanity. So the Prophet's experience, the Prophet Muhammad was asked by his wife Aisha if he had a Corrine, and he affirms that he did. But however, due to the divine aid that he had, his Corrine was subdued and only commanded him to do good rather than to sin. The Corrine's influence is generally considered negative, and the only traditions and online discussions suggest a more complex relationship with Corrines. Some of these interpretations explore the Corrine as a spiritual counterpart that feeds on the person's dark energy, while others believe that it helps them in some forms of esoteric knowledge. And I find that absolutely fascinating and incredibly complex that I can't even wrap my head all the way around it.
Vanessa Turzo plays the witch Sonia in this. She was also in Something Wicked back in season one as well. She comes from the movie Frequency, the TV series Arrow, Minority Report, and X-Men Evolution and Da Vinci's Inquest, which I had never seen. It's always funny when they have returning actors playing multiple characters. Of course, this was so far between seasons. Ten years had passed between seasons. There's a you know, you look very different in 10 years. At least most people do.
Yeah, usually, yeah.
I do love the fact that there's witch killing bullets on the show.
Right.
I'm like, okay, when has this become a thing?
They just needed to, like, get around something, so they just invented something real quick. I'm all about it.
I mean, don't they usually, like, burn the hex bag of a witch or something like that, and then just kill a witch like they normally do? Like, anything else supernatural related?
They're, like, vulnerable to mortal weapons or something.
Strange and unusual. The drawing that they have of our creature looks like something a kid in school would draw. It's very brief. It's like black skinned. I don't know if it's black in terms of like say African American, but it's a black charcoal skinned creature holding the heart, and then a couple of demons kind of like floating around it, like looking for the offering. One looks like a gnome, one looks like a jackal, one looks like a dog with rabbit ears of some kind, like big, like kind of rabbit-style ears. You only get to see it very briefly in the, I'm assuming this is John Winchester's journal.
Oh, that makes sense. Our department was on holiday that.
I mean, it looks okay. They could have done it very, like, you know, mediocrely just to make it feel like it was, like, something John Winchester picked up once upon a time.
Yeah.
But I couldn't find it having been in any other media before, and that's pretty much most of my notes about this creature. Do you have anything else to say, Mel?
I have just a little bit about Corrine seen in other cultures other than simply Muslim and Albanian. So the concept of Corrine appears in pre-Islamic literature as well through these entities that go by other names. The Greek demons, Ak-K, in ancient Egypt, I probably butchered that pronunciation, I apologize, and the Christian guardian angel in pre-Islamic Arabian myths, the Corrine is said to be able to inspire poets to their works. In Greek mythology, daemons, daimons, are lesser divinities or spirits that embody abstract concepts like natural forces or personifications of abstract qualities, similar to ghosts or spirit guides. Unlike the later Christian demons, a daemon was not necessarily an evil or malevolent being. It was a general term for a spirit or a divine or semi-divine nature. In the ancient Egypt belief, Akh, and there's two different spellings, A-K-H and A-H-K, I found, was a spiritual entity, and it was transfigured by a deceased person identified with the intellect or the magically effective one, direct quote, distinct from the Ka, the life force, or the Ba, personality, who achieved this status through the alignment with God of Death, Osiris. The deceased's successful transition into the afterlife and their subsequent existence as an Akh was dependent on the living's efforts to ensure the proper ritual and offerings were performed upon death. And the real lore behind how to destroy a Quarine. According to the internet, if you have charms, talismans, or Tawiz, then destroy them. These are harem, and usually these will keep the djinn closer to you. If someone gives you a charm to wear around your neck, bury it somewhere or place it in your house. Or you must destroy it. If it's paper, just burn it. If it's not paper, then just tear it apart. So, according to the internet, Quarines are associated with some sort of talisman.
Is that all the notes you have?
That's
all my notes. Okay. Yep. We'll be back with another exciting episode of Supernatural Creatures and Lore. Mel, where can people find you?
Across the internet, at Mel Heflin.
What's your current project you're working on right now? You have a TV show.
I just came off of working with Rhonda Shear, and we had so much fun. And my very next one is going to be The Exotic Zoo of Terror.
Excellent. Wow. That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
You can find me over on the Radio Horror Show. I do Sunday nights from 10 to 12 most nights, with the exception of President's Day weekend, usually when I'm at the Boston Sci-Fi Film Fest. A film fest that if Mel has a sci-fi show, she should submit to and come out to if she ever happens to be in the New England area. And you can also find me over on one of my other podcasts. We just ended the Sal Buscema era podcast. Unfortunately, the Sal Buscema era podcast ended. We recorded the final episode at the beginning of January. And this past Monday, artist Sal Buscema passed away. He passed away on Friday. On Monday, it was announced that he had passed away. Sal missed his 90th birthday just by a couple days. Our hats off to Sal and his incredible legacy of work on Spider-Man, Captain America, The Incredible Hulk, and so many other Marvel comic book characters throughout time and space. He was working at Marvel from the 60s all the way till the mid-2000s. So it's sad to hear Sal has passed on. He is one of the last of the great legendary artists of the Silver Age, unfortunately. His brother John Buscema had passed away several years before and was best known for Conan the Barbarian. But Sal, I got hooked on Sal through Spectacular Spider-Man, which he drew for over 100 issues.
Wow.
Yeah, quite the legacy he leaves behind. But again, that's all the time we have here. We'll be back with another exciting episode in March of Supernatural Creatures and Lore here on the Radio Horror Network. Send us an email if you wish to, thatradiohorror@gmail.com. You can also leave a rating on wherever you happen to listen to this podcast. Thank you, everybody.